it was all about getting that early customer feedback and seeing how they felt on it and seeing the reviews that came in. And that was really the turning point. That was what catapulted the business from, you know, selling a couple bottles a day to selling hundreds of bottles a day, was when we were able to leverage real customer stories. When you hit month three and month four and people are getting experiences with Flow and they're really starting to see these results, it was emotional. It was, you know, not a product that, you know, that you feel a little healthier. It was a product that hopefully solved the problem that you've been suffering with for 10, 15 years that you thought was that unsolvable.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. Bobby Beatone is the CEO and co-founder of O Positive, a women's health business that focuses on addressing health needs that have been historically overlooked. Co-founded in 2018 with Bobby's sister, Brianna, O Positive created a science-backed, all-natural, and hormone-free PMS vitamin. O Positive now has more than 1.3 million customers and was most recently launched in Target this December. Bobby was also named on the 2024 Forbes 30 Under 30 list for food and drink.
Yeah, Rob, first, thank you so much for having me. Excited to chat through it all. I think looking back, it's funny. I think on first glance, I don't think it was such an obvious path. But when I look into it and look at the amazing influences I was surrounded by at an early age, I think it makes a lot of sense. Me coming from a very close family, coming from a mom who was very heavily involved in my life, and my mom who in her own right has patents and was an inventor in the health and beauty space, super inspirational. That when it came to solving problems and identifying problems that you know you can go and create a product around, I was exposed to that pretty early on from a very strong female figure in my life. So definitely fueled from that, I think.
Yeah, what do you think it is that you took from your mom and really have carried into your own business today?
Yeah, I think the main thing I took from my mom is the difference between an idea, the execution of that idea. I think a lot of people have ideas. And I think one of the core values of entrepreneurship is the tenacity of execution and going to do that. My mom had ideas mainly stemming from her raising me and my sister Brianna as kids. They were all in the health and beauty space, all things around encouraging kids to wash their hands and making lives easier for parents' child. And it was interesting watching her go through the process of getting those patents, licensing those ideas to Colgate, to Disney, to things like that. And that, you know, these weren't groundbreaking ideas. One of the ideas was a toy on a tube in soap. And she licensed it to soft soap. And it was to encourage kids to wash their hands. And it was something so simple that probably people thought of, but watching, you know, her double down on the execution and the tenacity being a core value of hers really funneled into what I did today, and really me and Brianna pushing ideas through to fruition.
Now, Brianna is your sister, which I give you a ton of credit because I mean, I've had a brother sister. The paper, you know, paperless post there.
Of course.
Brother sister combo, but very few brother sister pairings, especially having two sisters of my own. I could never imagine being in business with them. What was it about your sister and about what you were doing that you made a really good pair?
Yeah, great question. I think it is definitely a unique thing. One, just having a real strong family base and values that you share make for great partnerships and family. I'm a big advocate for family businesses because you are raised on these values and you share them, and any good company has to have those to be successful. But I think the key to me and Brianna's success now going on, you know, 5-6 years of building this business was having your swim lanes, was having things that you can own fully, where your partner trusts you. Brianna is an incredible creative mind. She studied design at UCLA, was a Disney Imagineer working on the Star Wars theme parks. And that was her strong suit. So when it comes to brand and how to speak to her customer, how it shows up aesthetically, that is her domain. And kind of on the opposite side of things, the business side of things, how to run the marketing campaigns, how to, manufacture a product and bring it to market. That was something that I spiked in, and kind of having those swim lanes where you trust each other fully really, I think, was the reason we were able to have success. And by no means is it perfect. We still fight like cats and dogs at times, but with an underlying sense of love, it's pretty easy to overcome it, because you just come in the next day and you're like, okay, great. Well, let's forget about that. Let's keep moving forward.
What was it like growing up with her? Like, did you ever imagine that maybe one day, obviously seeing what your mom was doing and she was seeing the same thing, but did you ever imagine one day that, hey, maybe both of us might actually be in business together?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have guessed it off the bat, but again, looking back, it makes a lot of sense. We collaborated a lot together. We were very close. We were roommates together in college. So while she was going to UCLA and I was going to Loyola Marymount, we were roommates in mid-city Los Angeles. So we saw each other grow up. We were both each other's cheerleaders and therapists through life. And I think that is, again, what makes really great business partners, is that you can spike on multiple levels of connection. And I think, I don't know if I would have guessed it, but I'm really happy it happened.
Yeah. And when you talk about that, something you can only share with siblings is that same experience, right? Same parents, same kind of, someone who has probably the closest experience to you in the world. Has that, or how has that helped for both of you in building this business together?
Yeah, I think it's helped enormously, because with your sibling, it's a strip down of the ego. You can't have an ego around your sibling. And I think some of the best leaders that have been mentors and have over the years, and that I try to emulate, have this lack of ego when leading. And having your sibling there calling you on it every day helps you grow. It helps you, I think, you get to the right answer. Because if you're assembling a team in the early days of your friends, of people that kind of want to build this company with you, I don't necessarily think that's the right way to do it. I think it's people that challenge you, people that question you, where you can challenge the answer. So to really get to at least what you think is that right point, to me, again, has been really fruitful in that partnership.
Let's talk about, first I want to talk about how you first got into women's health. Tell us about your first story prior to starting this business with your sister.
Yeah. So out of undergrad, I studied entrepreneurship at Loyola Marymount. I really wanted to feel what it was like to found a company with not the risk of doing it myself. So I tried to find something that was as early stage as I can get. And I got introduced to this founder, Steve Paperno, who was a serial entrepreneur doing amazing things, a new dad, and just got a patent on a new baby swaddle, a safer baby swaddle for newborns. And he was kind of busy doing other things. And we really hit it off. And he said, hey, I got this patent. I have a little capital to put behind it. Go see what you can make of it. So it's kind of this dream scenario where you got to learn on someone else's dime, which I think is one of the best things to do early on and get experience with it. And I say, often that this experience over 2 years taught me two key things. One, how to build a direct-to-consumer business from zero to one, how to manufacture a product overseas, get it here, set up your Shopify, set up your Facebook ads. I was in Photoshop answering customer service tickets, like doing it all and just really learning what it actually takes. And second, what you mentioned was I was, a man in my early 20s. I didn't have much exposure to women's health other than through my mom and through my sister. which was a lot, but understanding it firsthand from a consumer experience, getting close to your consumer in those early days of a startup, where you're spending a lot of time with them. These were amazing women that were trying to conceive, pregnant, or just had their first child. And it taught me so much about their health journey and the problems that they were trying to solve and the problems that they thought the things on the market didn't necessarily satisfy. And it was more than products. It was education. It was community. And it kind of just opened my eyes to this world. And as you know, my mother's son, my wheels were turning. It was, how can we solve these problems? How can we make this experience around women's health, around nutrition, better for women throughout every stage of life, not just pregnancy?
Tell me about, you know, in terms of that experience and as you said, being there for 2 years and diving into everything, learning everything, which you're absolutely, I agree with you. It's such a great way to learn, especially when you're thrown into it and doing it for someone else. But you obviously learned a lot there. And then what was it that made you or gave you the idea to start your own company? Or was it your sister? Was it you? How did it come about?
Yeah, I think it was very much the realization of opportunity that I was experiencing in at Kempe through women's health and that exposure reflected in my sister and her experiences. And, you know, we were roommates still at that time, post-college, and we were talking about how I was excited about this opportunity. And I think there was something more in women's health. And Brianna said, listen, the biggest problem in my life since I was in my early teens was, or is, my menstrual cycle. You know, she struggled silently for a long time. I think it's such an interesting thing because through Brianna's experiences, she taught me a lot. She taught me that people talk a lot about their first period experience, going through puberty, what that means. And then people talk a lot about the end of things, menopause and that experience. But there's this 20, 30, 40 year gap in between that people go about life in a way they have for 100 years. And Brianna was a little exhausted by that. She went to different OBGYNs trying to fix symptoms like hormonal acne, cramps, bloating, these things that women deal with that are meant to be, or not meant to be, but shown to be, you know, hey, this is just life. This is normal. And, you know, it was very much what was on the market. And she wanted to challenge was this reactive approach, right? You have cramps. Oh, take ibuprofen. Oh, take Midol. But Brianna wanted to say, hey, can we figure out something that's a proactive approach to PMS, to that does it naturally, not through RX, not through over the counter, but something natural that, you know, might take a little bit more time, but it's a healthier way to balance your hormones. And what we found on the market was that didn't exist in many forms. It didn't exist in a educational standpoint, didn't exist in a product standpoint. And that's what got us really excited to kind of double down and build what would become our first product, Flow Vitamins.
I want to talk about Flow Vitamins. I also have to say, it was kind of funny when you were mentioning that because living in a house with two daughters who are, you know, having or had their first period very recently and a wife who is starting to go through menopause, like I see that. What's the 30 years in between that, right? And thinking about it, and when you mention that and understanding like really, you know, it's not about just the start and towards the end or whatever it might be, but the entire process, which makes sense. So, you know, you learn this, you understand this. How does the idea for the business, how do you start doing it?
Yeah, great question. It was very much bootstrapped at the beginning. Me and Brianna spent the next year and a half after we really solidified the idea, trying to figure out how to make a product, which we did not come from science backgrounds, but we picked up the phone and learned as much as we could, as quickly as we could. We sat down with multiple OBGYNs. We talked to tons of nutraceutical scientists being like, okay, how can we not only make this effective and have the right levels and amounts of these ingredients, but make it an enjoyable experience, make this taste great, make people want to keep coming back? Because as Brianna at that point in her life didn't take and couldn't swallow a pill for her, the life of her, she only took gummy vitamins. So there was no question that we had to make it in a gummy. And that's what we spent the next year and a half doing. And the challenges that came along with it were so interesting because at that time, which is not that long ago, 6 years ago, people weren't putting herbs or botanicals in gummy vitamins. A lot of the manufacturers at that point wouldn't even let it into their facility. They were like, oh, we do vitamins and minerals. We don't do botanicals. And now you see ashwagandha and all these things in every product on the market. It's changed a lot. But it was finding that right partner that was willing to take a bet on us and make a small run that our parents gave us a little bit of money to buy our first 8,000 bottles. And we launched it in late 2018, sold out in 2 months. And we're like, oh my God, we're onto something. And it was more than just the product, but Brianna's real intuition when it came to the brand and how it spoke to people and how we spoke about a taboo topic that I think was pretty refreshing. That was had the right amount of provocativeness, but science backing and playing that very nice balance between those that I think really connected to women, especially those early adopters.
I want to talk to you about that initial launch and obviously doing so well right off the bat. But I want to ask you about the product and when you were trying to solve this. Talk about that first product and really what the point of it was and what you were trying to bring to the market for women.
Yeah, I think the main goal of Flow went through multiple iterations, right? The first one you get back are pitch black and they taste like dirt. And you're like, okay, great, we have a starting point. Let's see how good we can get this to taste. While making sure the efficacy is really high. And I think in the early days, it was really important for us, being lean, being bootstrapped, to get it in the hands of consumers and measuring the results and bringing them along the journey of, you know, this is the first iteration. How can we make it better? How is it gonna support you on that journey? And the main goal of it was to offer a hormone-free proactive solution to PMS. Right? Not birth control, not reactive like ibuprofen, but something that was part of your daily routine that was done with natural ingredients that were clinically proven to help and have been used for thousands of years. A lot of this stuff is Eastern medicine that has been used and really has had amazing impact. So we launched and it was all about getting that early customer feedback. And seeing how they felt on it and seeing the reviews that came in. And that was really the turning point. That was what catapulted the business from, you know, selling a couple bottles a day to selling hundreds of bottles a day was when we were able to leverage real customer stories. When you hit month three and month four and people are getting experiences with Flow and they're really starting to see these results, it was emotional. It was, you know, not a product that, you know, that you feel a little healthier. It was a product that hopefully solved the problem that you've been suffering with for 10, 15 years that you thought was that unsolvable.
Yeah, that must have been an incredible feeling just to be able to receive and read some of those, you know, letters, because I assume, like you said, a lot of those are life-changing. These people have been going through this for their entire lives. How did that make you feel?
Oh, it was the greatest feeling of all. You know, when you put in at that point, even pre-launch, 2 years into this project, trying to make something that really impacted people. And we knew the impact because Brianna was our guinea pig. She was the one testing everything. She was the one taking it for months before we launched the product. But seeing it reflected in the eyes of the women that this was made for was spectacular. And what it did was it re-energized us on what we could do as a company. on what we could achieve because we wanted to bring them along in the journey because they were so excited. They're, you know, everyone's like, okay, great. You solved this problem. How can you fix the three other things going on in my life? And that is just the fuel that keeps us going to this day. Because when you're looking at, you know, your research and development team, trying to think of what we can do next, our research and development team is our customers. They're going to tell us what they want. They're going to tell us how we can be a part of their health journey beyond, you know, flow and menstrual health.
Yeah, which is so great to have, especially when you have that loyal customer base. And, you know, I guess just thinking about it and starting out, and obviously it's been successful, which is incredible. It's your first business. It's with your sister. But was there a time at all, or, you know, when you were starting where you kind of maybe thought, okay, you know, maybe this might not work. Maybe it's not the best idea to team with my sister. Maybe were there any challenges you had to overcome?
Yeah. Multiple. I think the biggest one in the early days was really fine tuning the product and finding amazing partners that believed in you. That were willing to come along your journey. As a small company, it was crucial to build those relationships with manufacturers that were willing to make a great product. We went through countless ones. It wasn't an easy product to make. We, you know, made it difficult by picking a ring-shaped gummy that looks like a lifesaver. So there's this negative space in the middle that was the bane of my existence for the first 2 years, because it was really hard for manufacturers to make and wrap their head around. And we jumped around a lot. And it took, truthfully, not finding the best and baddest manufacturer that was doing the most in the industry. It was finding someone that was willing to listen and spend time and stay in the lab till 3 a.m. in the morning with you to fine tune this product. And there were probably three instances in that first year where, yeah, we thought we weren't going to get product. We had deliveries of product that you know, was slimy. That was we knew we couldn't ship it to customers because you value those first, you know, 10,000 customers with all your life. You're not going to send that to them. How can you partner with really great people? And I think relationships above everything was the reason we succeeded. Was when, you know, someone a manufacturer kicks you on your butt saying this is too hard, we're not going to work with you anymore. If that second one that was willing to take a bet on you and calling them up and saying, hey, can you make this 6-month timeline 3 months? And we'll be partners on that. And them saying yes to that was everything we needed. But yeah, I think in that early days, finding a reliable supplier that is truly a partner and not just a PO transaction was probably the biggest point where I thought O-positive might not make it.
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Modern wealth is more complex than ever. Is your wealth manager ready for those conversations? That's why Northern Trust created the Northern Trust Institute, a research center dedicated to surfacing new insights and the best financial advice to serve your unique needs. Whatever your ambitions for your wealth, talk to a Northern Trust advisor about where the world is going and how to get you and your family there. Learn more at northerntrust.com/institute. Again, that's northerntrust.com/institute.
And we're back.
Yeah. Did you have to go through a few different suppliers? And I just equate it to, you know, my own business experiences. And like you said, yeah, with you, it's about relationships, and you find, you know, it takes so much time, but then you find the people who really get things done and you trust, and all of a sudden, you know, they're invaluable to your business. Was it a long process? Did you get lucky on the second time, or did it take several times to finally find the right people in different areas who helped you?
Yeah, I think when it came to making a product, it took probably three times. So I'd say in between those, there were two moments where we thought the business wasn't going to make it very clearly. But I think people and relationships in general, kind of the theme of our success. I think we're really proud of the products we make, but I can almost pinpoint, you know, the upward right trajectory to when people have joined our team or we found a great partner, which truly have transformed the business more than finding that right marketing campaign or even launching a product. It's finding that right person that believes in the mission and has complementary skills to you, if that be a person part of your team or a partner, that has changed the trajectory, I think, multiple times throughout the last couple of years.
You know, it's so great to find those people and to come in, and sometimes, you know, you'll find someone and exactly what you thought. But did you ever have situations where you were like, oh, this person's gonna be incredible for us, help us, and then you find the opposite?
Yeah, it happens a lot. It happens in running a business not only focused on product, but focused on people. It happens. And I think it was Reed Hastings from Netflix that spoke about this. And he spoke about the difference between a business being a family and being a professional sports team. And I very much align with it being a professional sports team in the respect that you're working towards a championship. You're working towards something bigger than you, and it's a team sport. But at the end of the day, you know, you have your stars and you have people that get traded and come aboard, and you're managing the sports team. But in the locker room, you care about each other just as much as family. But you're honest with each other and you keep each other accountable. But it's not love at all costs. It's still working towards a goal. And I resonate with that. And that's how me and Brianna really look at leading the people function of this. And we're lucky enough to, the founding team, the first five employees are still with me and Brianna to this day. And couldn't have done it without them.
That's awesome. You know, in terms of the business now and in terms of how quickly you've grown and have become successful, you know, you'd mentioned you have this great community who's telling you what they need, what they want. How do you balance, you know, between obviously having this couple great products to figuring out if you're going to build or create other products while you're still trying to run a business? Because like you said, initially, it's about, you know, manufacturing, supply. Like, there's a lot that goes on to a business when you're creating products. How do you envision yourself managing that as you grow?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, in the early days, it was challenging. It was challenging to balance this with a lean team. Because you have so many ideas and you have to figure out which direction is the right one for the company. And I think it's kind of like great, you know, is the enemy of good. It's making sure that you're staying lean enough where you can take bets and take chances. Part of our success over the last couple of years was the ability to test and learn in real time with real feedback. And that's the beauty of starting a business online, direct to consumer. Because if you can, you know, have an idea for a product, manufacture a small minimum of it, and get it out in the hands of consumers and figure out if they love it, if they're going to stay on for it, what does, you know, do people click on the ads on Facebook and TikTok? That gives you a really good signal, you know, pretty quickly on if you should double down or if you should, you know, say, hey, let's sunset it and move on. And I think you sometimes have to kill your darlings in the respect that there's products that I've loved that I thought were going to be the next biggest thing, and we launch it, and it might not be that. And a couple of times it hasn't been. We launched an immunity product in the height of COVID, and it didn't work. But you launch other products, and you know, you think they're good ideas, and they're smash successes. So I think it's balancing this amazing feedback you're getting from your customers. And then leveling that up to us saying, can we make a great product where you can feel the results? I think that is a huge value of ours. You know, we want to stand out in the supplement space from, you know, a normal multivitamin, from a immune product where you're not sure if you're feeling it. You're not sure how to measure the results. We want to make sure that every product we make, you can measure and you can feel. Because I think that's how we kind of stand out in the supplement space, which is how we kind of filter out the products that we want to double down on.
Yeah, you know, in terms of thinking about it, it seems like there is so much opportunity and you've been successful in so many of the products, you know, you've already launched. But where do you see, or how do you see O-Positive long-term in combination with how the wellness industry is growing? Where do you see yourselves in a few years?
Yeah, I love that question because I think about it a lot. The mission of O-Positive that we set forth at the beginning was to be a company that is with a woman from her first period all the way to her last and beyond, hopefully, eventually. And it's to really be that support system that is there when maybe products, maybe education, maybe community hasn't been in the past. And it's the goal of wherever you enter the O-Positive ecosystem, we're with you from that point on. If you enter when you're 18, if you enter when you're 40, we want to be with you from that moment on. That's what we're building. That's kind of the dream of where we want our products to go and where we want to keep providing value. If that be sexual health, if that be pregnancy and new categories that we haven't been in yet. And I think from a holistic perspective, it's to add value to our customers however we can. And I think education is such a huge part of that. Something that we're prioritizing with our medical advisory board and our partners to say, hey, how can we be the spot where people feel comfortable talking about these issues and actually offer, hopefully, solutions that weren't prior on the market? And then when it comes to a growth perspective, I'm excited to take it beyond direct to consumer. I think we have had a lot of success on, you know, running social media ads to our beautiful website and converting customers and having them try our product where we can tell a really great story in long form. But, you know, taking on the behemoth of retail and wholesale and being where shoppers experience this, that's what we want to be. We want people to experience our products. People might not be on Facebook, might not buy on D2C. How can we show up where they are and give them exposure that, hey, there is products for what you're seeking? I think it's exciting. Definitely a challenge.
What's your time frame on that? And have you started to put plans into place about kind of bricks and mortar and experiential maybe?
We've put a lot of time into it. Our team has been working really hard. And I think it's fun to say we will be in retail in 2024. So we are going to be with, you know, one of the big boys, a Target, a Walmart, a Costco, and one of them is really excited. And we're going to show up. And I think the way we show up is really important, which we spent a lot of time with this partner to kind of figure out. And it was, how can we tell a story on the shelf? And how can we have the space to educate a little bit, and you know, finding the right partner that's going to invest in you and give you that end cap where you can explain the products and educate a little bit more was crucial to us. So that was very important for us going through that process in finding the right partner. But yeah, excited! It's a new challenge. We're assembling a team around it now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's got to be really exciting as well. And just in terms of going from DTC to retail. And, you know, what I've noticed just in terms of a lot of companies that started DTC, there's, as they've grown, they've become kind of a mixed entity and one kind of, one, you know, arm scratches the other, whatever that phrase is. What is it? Like one scratches the back. I forgot. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, you know, yeah. I assume that that's, you know, a really a big part of that. And especially in today's world, to grow your brand is really having to be in both markets.
Yeah, it's critical. I think, you know, showing up where people are shopping is really important. And having those relationships, again, with just like with your suppliers, it's with the retailers that believe in you. That are willing to kind of double down on kind of hopefully what you can do for each other is really important. And kind of walking, what I've learned from peers who have done this journey is, you know, walking, crawl, walk, run, which is just take your time, master it. You know, your packaging could change, your end cap. Like, how can you show up the best you can is going to be very different than D2C. And it takes some learning there, no matter how prepared you are for it. And I think something we're thinking a lot about going from a direct-to-consumer business to retail is, how do you market and how do you track it? What levers do you pull and what does it equal? Because you're going to be spending on these same channels and growing on TikTok and growing on Instagram. But how does that translate to retail and how do you track that? That is a fun challenge that we have set out on, which I don't know if anyone's quite solved, but I know a lot of people are thinking about it.
Yeah. In terms of the wellness industry itself, and as you've seen it since you started the business and as it grows and changes, what are some of the challenges that products nowadays face or consumers face when choosing products?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the science behind the product, the legitimacy of the claims and how people are supported by that. I think O Positive's core value is science first and making sure that, you know, every claim we make is backed up by an ingredient with great clinical studies. And in an industry, you know, of supplements and vitamins where there's a lot of noise and there's some bad actors there, it's important to stand out. It's important to prioritize that and for consumers to prioritize that and make sure that they're, you know, doing their own research or making sure they're going to brands they trust that have that backing. I think that is critical and I think is going to be a much bigger part of the next couple of years to come. I think consumers are smart and they're going to be getting smarter on how things affect their body and making sure that they're putting things in their body that are good for them, that are going to do what that brand promises is mission critical and something, you know, we at the start have been committed to and constantly challenging our team on how we can keep raising that bar.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're an incredible space and industry nowadays and for the future to come, just what's become so important, like you said, post-COVID, even though the immunity product, you know, that you talked about, which you would think is a no-brainer. But I do think that, you know, just knowing people and interest and whether they're young or older, health and wellness, finally, thank God, I mean, it's kind of, people would think it is so important. But what I want to ask, you've been in the space, you know, this has been your life really, you know, since college. I want to leave you. I want to ask you, if you didn't go into this type of business, women's health, where would you see yourself? Where could you see yourself in what industry? And secondly, I guess if you could do anything or create anything, what would you choose? And I guess they could be the same.
Wow, that's a fun question. Okay, I think if I wasn't in the health and wellness industry and I didn't start out positive, I've always had such a passion for film and creation of stories and storytelling, which funnels through. I'm lucky that I get to do a lot of that still at what I do today, but telling a story. I just finished The Bear season 2 and it impacted me. The storytelling, the way that it could make you feel and make people feel something by just telling such real stories, how it showed up visually. It's just like, it gets my blood pumping. So I would, you know, find myself, I think, hopefully telling stories through film would be something I would love to create, but also an industry that to this day, I my ears perk up and my heart beats faster when we talk about it.
Yeah, no, I'll say that's something I've always wanted to do is to create documentary films. And I promised myself after the business I have now, that is what I am going to go do.
I love that.
Yeah, I just want to, like you said, tell stories and I'll give you, you know, you're telling some great stories and you're getting, there must be no better feeling than receiving those emails or letters or whatever it might be of changing people's lives. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you can build a business and it at the same time it changes lives, I mean, I don't know if there's anything in a positive way. I don't know if there's anything better than that. So congrats on all your success.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a special feeling. Me and the team still have our email notifications on for reviews. So it definitely keeps us going on a daily basis. And it's hard to have a bad day when you might come out of a hard meeting and you come back to your computer and you read an email of someone's experience. It keeps you going. So definitely a special thing to tie in what you do on a daily basis, but impacting, you know, millions of women's lives.
Yeah, that's such a great thing as an entrepreneur, because as you know, and talking about, there's ups and downs and high points and low points. And if some of those messages keep you going, or, you know, keep you waking up the next day and going through it, whatever it does to get you to do that, that is what you need. And it sounds like you're able to get it from that. And it sounds also like you've built a great working relationship with your sister. And for the most part, I don't know, it seems like it's been enjoyable.
It's been such a special experience. There's no chance I would be sitting here today without her and her by my side, both being the support system, but being the powerhouse that she is, and the running the new products we come up with, the creative, how the brand shows up, how we speak to our customers. She is the champion of these women that we serve, and definitely been such a great ride with her, and will continue to be.
Well, Bobby, it's been great having you on How Success Happens. I wish you and your sister and O Positive and the entire team continued success. I am sure you are going to keep crushing it and growing, and you're in such a great industry. And I have to personally thank you, as I mentioned, having two daughters who are starting to go through PMS right now. Now I know where to go. So I do appreciate that. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's been so great. Great spending time with you, Rob. Really appreciate you having me on.
You got it.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.